May my words be of you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The passage from Romans that Chuck just read struck me differently this week than it has before. Paul gives us this long list of instructions governing how followers of Jesus are to treat others. I won't repeat them all, but listen again to a few of these behaviors that Paul commends. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Now, Paul was speaking to the community of believers, so I've always imagined that it was the community that had to live up to these standards. One person rejoices in hope, another is patient in suffering, and yet another perseveres in prayer. But if these behaviors are only required of the community as a whole, it kind of lets us off the hook as individuals. It's a little easier not to ask myself, so how am I doing? Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. So I've been thinking this week, who will do these things if not me? Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. So far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Let's just suppose for a moment that all of these standards are required of all of us. That's a pretty tall order. So I found it significant that this particular reading is paired with the gospel passage in which Jesus says, "Deny yourself and take up your cross." Because really, the only way to live as Paul commends is to deny what I want and need and make these standards, these behaviors, my first concern. Let's think for a moment about the impact that might have. Last week I ended the sermon with this question: how do we as people of faith help to tackle the crises of our time? Given that we are living in a time of incredible uncertainty, without any roadmap, the usual strategies we use to problem solve are not much help. One group of leaders speaking in a podcast from Luther Seminary suggests that the way to problem solve in this moment is to increase our capacity to be responsive to God's leading, because God certainly sees the way forward. In which case, our best contribution as individuals and as a church is to maximize our capacity to listen for God, who is speaking to us and leading us today and every day as we move into a future that only God can imagine. So that was last week. Today, I want to offer part two and go just a little bit deeper in thinking about what people of faith can contribute to addressing the crises of our time. The strategy that Jesus gives is to take up our cross, to give ourselves over to God, and allow ourselves to be shaped into the kind of people that Paul describes in Romans. Imagine what would happen if people of faith showed up everywhere to address the crises of our time, and what they consistently brought to the table was genuine love, honoring others, hope, patience, prayer, humility, peacemaking. I suspect that we already do that to some extent, but maybe at this time in history, we are being called to ramp it up. I mentioned last week that there are at least 5 major crises we are facing today: medical, economic, political, racial, and environmental. And we can't keep doing what we've always done and think that these problems are going to be solved. In fact, we can't even make small adjustments and think that we will solve these problems. The pandemic has revealed grave inequities in our medical and economic systems. Doing what we've always done or tweaking things a little will not fix these crises. This week, someone described the way we have tried to solve our political crisis as lurching back and forth, one election to the next, from the Democratic plan to the Republican. But rather than genuinely solving problems, we are left with greater division and more animosity. So why do we think we can fix this by continuing the same old pattern? Our environmental crisis is not going to be solved by recycling a little more. And think about this. In the 1960s, 60 years ago, Martin Luther King Jr. said, "I contend that the cry of Black Power," which was the movement of that era, "Black Power is at bottom a reaction to the reluctance of white power to make the kind of changes necessary to make justice a reality for the Negro." King also said that riots are the language of the unheard. This week, a commentator said they disagreed with King. Riots aren't the language of the unheard. Riots are the language of those who have been heard but ignored. End of quote. So rather than continuing to do what has failed for decades, what if people of faith everywhere stepped it up and followed Jesus' command to take up our cross and follow him, using Paul's standard of behavior, offering ourselves wholly to God, perhaps with a prayer that sounds like this: "Take me, Lord. Shape me. Make me a person of genuine love who lives in harmony with all, who does not seek vengeance, but who feeds the hungry. Shape me, God, and then send me into the fray, and I will be there, available to you, empty of my own desires, my own agenda, and open to yours." I suspect that most people of faith try to give ourselves to God, but we never do it all at one time, and it's never finished. There are always areas of our lives, some nook or cranny that we didn't see before and it didn't get offered to God. Being shaped into God's image is less like taking a workshop and more like joining AA. When you join AA, you know that your addiction isn't gone. You spend the rest of your life practicing the practices that keep the addiction in its proper place. In our culture, we are addicted to all kinds of things: individualism, consumerism, power, white privilege, the American dream. We can't keep doing things the way we've always done them and expect to solve the problems that were created because of the way we do things. So let me ask you this. What are you doing that shapes you into the kind of person Paul describes? If an athlete wants to excel at their sport, they invest a lot of time in the discipline of practicing the basics. Likewise, a follower of Jesus grows in Christ-likeness by investing time in practicing the basics. I shared this story on Wednesday night last week, so forgive me if you've already heard it. Our next-door neighbor in New Hampshire gets up every day and walks 3 miles and then swims for an hour. At lunch, he walks 2 more miles and rounds out the day by swimming 30 minutes before dinner. He's 71 years old. He hasn't always done that. At best of my recollection, he started exercising like that about 20 years ago. That regular daily discipline builds muscle memory that makes it possible for him to climb mountains. Because he trains his muscles, he can depend on them for agility and strength and stamina to tackle the really big challenges. There are also daily disciplines for building spiritual muscles. There are practices that over time shape us and give us spiritual agility, spiritual strength, spiritual stamina to tackle the really big challenges. Last week I mentioned a few: daily scripture reading, prayer practices, daily devotionals. This week I want to share several more practices, a little more unusual ones, that were offered by the Luther Seminary podcast I mentioned earlier. These practices also build spiritual muscle. They are listening deeply to others, practicing empathy, learning the language of lament, taking Sabbath regularly, and moving between gratitude and grief. What would happen if white people practiced deep listening, empathy, and giving voice to lament in relationship with our black sisters and brothers? How might those practices change us and change the racial crisis in our nation? If you are discouraged or afraid or feeling hopeless about the crises of our time, I suggest that you revisit your spiritual disciplines. Ramp up those basic practices that will develop spiritual muscles and shape your character in the process. God loves this world and is present and active in it. God will lead us where we need to go. Our role, our part, is to give ourselves to God and to God's work in us.